Pastor Don, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to pray then. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, right now. Father, we thank you for just the word that you have implanted in Pastor Don's heart, Lord God. And we pray that you would bless this word, bless him as he brings it, Lord. Anoint it and anoint our hearts to receive it, Lord God. And help us to be those declarers, those proclaimers that you have called us to be.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Well, good morning, church. I want you guys to think for a minute. How many of you would like to have a job that you work 1 minute? Okay? And no, it's not a pastor, all right? Not being Pastor John, we actually work 1 minute. You work 1 minute, and at the end of that 1 minute, you're given a check for $5 million. That'd be a great job to have, wouldn't it? How many of you know that there's actually a job like that? Anybody know? When I tell you what it is, I want you to think about what, and not a drug dealer, it's not something bad, not killing somebody. Okay? Fred, you got that? Fred says, I used to make $5, you know. Yeah. Back in the day, some of you came out of the drug background, you go, well, I didn't make that much, I had to work a little bit. $5 million for 1 minute work. And on a bad day, you'd make $50,000 for 1 minute work. I don't know about you, but I'd take either job. Pardon? Yeah, if you're working for the Ukraine. Yeah, that was a month of what he got, that $75,000. 1 minute. 1 minute. Does anybody think they know what that job is? Nancy? It ain't working over at the eyeglass shop, okay? For the doctor, okay? Let me give you a hint. Let's get ready to rumble! What's that from?
Big Time Wrestling.
Well, no, it's from the boxing and the... where's... JFK over there. That's from the what do they call it?
MMA.
MMA. You've heard that guy. Him and his brother have trademarked that expression. Let's get ready to rumble. And they'll come out for 1 minute's work. And you'll see him hold the microphone out. Ladies and gentlemen, and in this corner, hailing from parts unknown in the deepest parts of the Amazon. Blah, blah, and he'll introduce him and give the big work. And his opponent tonight, standing in the record, such and such. And he builds it up, and then he goes, and let's get ready to rumble. And the whole crowd goes berserk. That guy and his brother, in a big fight, he made $5 million for saying that. And the majority of the time, he gets a check from anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 at the MMA fights. They pay a little cheaper. For saying that one particular phrase. I don't know about you, but I want that job. Amen? If you know Brian Wilkerson, he's been chasing that goose all his life. Brian Wilkerson, when he was a kid, he wanted to be an announcer so bad. Maybe some of you remember the old Michigan announcer, Bob Ufer. Remember him? You got to be Michigan, you know. And he was really excited whenever he announced the games. And Brian, when he was a kid, he would record that guy. And then at night, you know, and he would do it. And so years later, you know, Brian, he says, you know, he always wanted to announce the Melvindale football games. And so he got in there one night and somebody had to leave early. And he got to do like the second half. And they liked him so much, they hired him to announce the games. And then he does the basketball games. He does the girl basketball games. Did the soccer. So they want him all the time to announce, you know. And he would always tell me, oh, you know what? It's my goal. I want to announce a game at Michigan. So you got to be careful what you pray. Because last spring we went out to Michigan. We had the girls play out there, and we're in the softball complex. And there was a guy up in the booth up there, and me and Brian we went up there, and he let Brian announce the game for the Michigan booth. Now that wasn't the fulfillment of the dream that he had. I said, but Brian, all you asked for was that you'd be allowed to, you know, announce a game at Michigan. And so you get to announce this game, but he was blessed because of it, you know. And I say all that to say this, that, and Pastor John talked about it a little bit last week, Last year, 2019, our vision for the year was, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen? And we challenged you day after day after day after day to look for instance in your life every single day as to how God's hand moved, or how He showed Himself, how He revealed Himself to you. And if you come out to our Thursday Bible studies, you know that we're constantly asking people, you know, all right, what did God do to you? Who's got a praise report? And I always say this, you know, when we say that, every hand should go up. Amen? It shouldn't be, well, you know, one or two people tell you that they did this or they did that. It should be every hand saying, God revealed Himself to me in some way, some incredible way. But see, that's not the end of the story. Okay? That's not the end of the story. And as Pastor John illustrated last week in his message, 2020, the vision is, not only are we believing and to see the glory of God, but we're called also what? To proclaim the glory of God. Turn with me in your Bibles over to Habakkuk chapter 2. I know many of you are saying, is that even a book in the Bible? Yes, it's a book in the Bible. Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Little book. Right after Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Bar Haggai, Zephaniah. Okay, kind of raise your hand when you got it. Amen. This kind of be a theme for today. Habakkuk chapter 2, and probably many of you have heard this scripture. You want to write this one down. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits in appointed time. And what we have here in Habakkuk is God was giving the prophet a vision as to what was going to happen into their future. It was going to be years down the road. But God was giving His people a warning. And it was so important that they heeded this warning that He tells the prophet, write it down. Make it plain. You know, a lot of times we read through the Bible and there's things in there that aren't so crystal clear, right? You know, you read some of the old things in the Old Testament, you kind of scratch your head and you go, what are they trying to say? It's not that God wants to confuse us, it's just that we don't understand the culture, or we don't understand the idioms that they use or the references that they make. Just like people wouldn't understand a lot of the things that we say, the terms that we use today. But He tells the prophet to write it down and to make it plain. Why? So that a herald may run with it. What's a herald? My dad's name, Harold Wolin. I think they named him that correct. If you ever heard him yell at, I know Pastor John knows. What's a herald? An announcer. That's exactly right. That's why I use that illustration of the guy, let's get ready to rumble, or Brian Wilkerson. You know, last night my wife and I, we drove out to Lansing and had my granddaughter's birthday party out there. So we're going out there and I hooked my phone up. And how many of you ladies, a lot of you men may not remember, some older ladies, do you remember the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella? You remember that? I love that show, you know. And it was like, it was only shown once a year back in the day because we only had three or four television stations. You had 2, 4, 7, 9. You got 50 if you had the right antenna and they had the aluminum foil on there and the guy down the block on the CB radio wasn't breaking in, breaker, breaker, give me, you know. They go, who is this guy? You wanted to choke him. It's like everybody knew it, but nobody could ever figure out who this guy on the ham radio was that kept interrupting the show. And so, you know, back in that day, twice a year, two of my favorite episodes, you know, you had The Wizard of Oz came on, right? And I remember everybody in the neighborhood had to go home and watch that. Because you're only going to see it once. Now you can watch it, you know, 9 times in a row. You know, it's like A Wonderful Life around Christmas, the one channel that shows it 24 hours, and you go, okay, it was wonderful the first time. Okay? There's years I can't watch the movie no more. I like burned out on that stuff. But the Cinderella was the other one. And there was a guy in there, and I always remember this song, His Royal Highness, Prince Bob, and he goes through this whole long name. You remember that scene? The prince is giving a ball, the prince is, and then he, you know, names this guy's name, a big old long name. But he was a herald. He was somebody who was announcing something very important. And in that little episode, it was, well, the prince is giving a ball. He wanted to find a wife. How many of you know that Christ is looking for a wife? He's looking for a bride, isn't he? And if he gives a ball, I don't know about you, but we have different stories in the Scripture that talk about the wedding feast and people being invited and compelled to come in. I want to be one of those going into the feast. Amen. But we're told here in Habakkuk to make it plain and to run with it. And that's what our vision is for this year. You know, Pastor John last week, he touched upon the woman at the well. And here she was, she came down to the well, had no idea what was about to occur that moment. You ever think about these people, what was going on earlier in the day? You know, she probably got up, threw some makeup on, who knows what happened the night before. All we know is that she was a woman who had, you know, five or six husbands. The guy she was living with now was not her husband. Doesn't sound like a very good life, amen? But I mean, you know, when things get rough, that Christ is always sitting there waiting for us. And not only was she a woman, she was a Samaritan woman. Who Jews, if you know your scriptures, the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans in that day. But yet she came, Christ sat down, told her everything that she'd ever did. What did she do? She saw the glory of God. She recognized Christ as that Messiah. And what did she do? She ran back into her village and she told everyone there, come with me. This man is the Messiah. And she was probably at the lowest rung of society in that village. Probably everybody knew what her background was. But the people came out. And here she is, someone who maybe people despised, people had set aside, people didn't want anything to do with because they knew what she was like. But yet she's the one going back, declaring the glory of God. And through her words, people came out. And if you read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story, Jesus stayed two extra days there, and everybody in that village came to believe in Him as the Messiah, the one person. Amen. Why? Because she proclaimed the glory of God. Pastor John also talked about the shepherds out in the field. And they were out there, the angels appeared to them, told them where to find the baby Jesus. They went, they saw it. And they went back and they told others what had happened. The angels appeared to them, the singing and all that. Could you imagine that, being overwhelmed by that? Could you keep it to yourself? But yet they proclaimed the glory of God. And who knows how many other people came to believe that He was the Messiah. You know, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, in the book of John, and most of you are familiar with the blind guy laying by the pool. Jesus comes along and His disciple says, Master, who sinned, this man or his father? Neither, but that the glory of God will be revealed in his life. You see, sometimes we go through bad things. Why? So that the glory of God can be revealed in our life. We talked about it a little bit upstairs. It's not always in the good times that God is going to manifest this. Oh, He can, and you better look for Him all the time. But how about the bad times? We want to say, you know, Job, he saw the glory of God in his circumstances, his situation. But that blind guy, he couldn't see Jesus. All he knows is, boom, he went, he washed his face and he could see. And next thing you know, he's telling everybody. And everybody knew him as the blind man. Now everybody wanted to question him. And what did he do? He continued to proclaim the glory of God, the man they called Jesus. He put mud on my face, told me to go and wash. And once I was blind, but now I see. And he came back seeing, and even the leaders, the Pharisees, they didn't believe him. They brought him in, they drilled him, and they grilled him. And he continued to what? To give glory to God. And to proclaim the glory of God. And they tried to trip him up. Remember, this man Jesus, he's a sinner. And the guy said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But all I know is I was blind and now I see. They got to the point, they brought his parents in. Is this your son? Not you, Bob. We know you were back that day, but is this your son? Yes, that is our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. How is it that he is here today and that he can see? And you remember what they said? They were afraid to be thrown out of the synagogue. And they said, ask him, he is of age. And so they asked him again, and he finally got fed up with him, and he said, you know what, do you guys want to be his disciples? And then they kind of cursed him and beat him and they threw him outside. And I could imagine him kind of feeling down, but yet he's able to see. But he'd just been excommunicated from the synagogue. To a Jew, that was a very, very serious thing. On one hand, he's being blessed by God with his vision given to him. He was born blind. Could you imagine? And I don't think we can. I mean, you get a taste of it every now and then. I had to go in for an MRI a few months ago. And I remember them sliding my body into that tube. Those of you that had an MRI, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking, all right, this is going to be a piece of cake. You know, 15 minutes, let's go. You know, get me out of here like baking bread at the bakery. So, you know, right before they slid me in there, I go, well, what's it going to be, about 15, 20 minutes? They go, no, 45 minutes. I'm like, what? 45 minutes. Well, some people have gone to those things. Donna told me you were in one for what, a couple hours, 3 hours. It explains a lot, Donna. It explains a lot. But they slid you in there, and it was like this tube, you know, and I'm just looking around, and all these different colors, and this white. And it got a little scary in there, you know. I'm like looking like, well, thank God there's an opening down there. I could slide myself out, you know, if they're on a coffee break and they forget about me. I'm like, how am I going to get out of this thing? You know, and you get that eerie feeling like you could understand somebody being buried alive or entombed, you know. And so I remember getting out, and as soon as I slid out, I was like, oh, thank God they didn't forget about me. And the first thing I did is when I got in my car, I'm looking at all the trees in the sky and all the colors, and I'm thanking God, thank you, Lord, for the sight that you've given me. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be blind for the rest of my life and feel my way around. And that man in that story I was telling you about, he gets his vision back, and on one hand, he's sitting there and he's depressed. He just got excommunicated. But on the other hand, man, I can see. Could you imagine? Just he's looking around at it. Look at the beautiful walls of Jerusalem. Look at this incredible temple. Look at the people. Look at the children. Look at the clouds. He's taken in a whole new world that he never saw before. How many of you know what an illustration for us when Christ opens our eyes, when he gives us that vision? He says right down there, all of a sudden our eyes are open. We see the world differently, don't we? And what did he do? He began to immediately proclaim the glory of God. And I like this, and Jesus came back. You know, you could almost imagine Jesus sitting out by the fence, just kind of waiting, you know, sipping on a Hebrew coffee. That's why they were called the Hebrews. You get that down, and that's pretty bad, Joe, Hebrews. But you can almost imagine him standing outside watching all this and just kind of thinking to himself and chuckling. They're not even rejoicing with what happened to this guy. But they're attacking him. I mean, you know, when you begin to proclaim the glory of God, you're going to come under attack a lot of times. Amen? You know, it ain't going to be, hey, thank you for preaching the word of God to us. Thank you. No, you're going to get people that will get angry with you. You don't believe me, go on the internet and just check it out. Check out some of the stories about Christianity. But Jesus is standing there. He's watching this. The guy comes out, probably depressed but still excited. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, Lord? It is he who is speaking to you. And I love it. It says he fell down and he worshipped. He proclaimed the glory of God, not just with his mouth but through his action. Amen. I want to give you four things today, very simple things. When we begin to proclaim the glory of God, things that can happen. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1 and read a little bit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Because each one heard them speaking his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs." Sammy. "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" When you begin to proclaim the glory of God, first of all, let me say this. You can't proclaim the glory of God until the Spirit of God moves upon you in might and power. Jesus had told his disciples to remain in Jerusalem for 10 days so that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so they were obedient. They had no idea what was about to happen. But they knew from the Old Testament scriptures that that was God's promise, that he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and that men and women would prophesy, and God would move through them in incredible ways, that there would be giftings of the Spirit that would enable them to pray for the sick and see them healed, to pray for the lame and they would recover, to pray and to see miracles, to pray to see the glory of God revealed, just like we said last year. And so here they are, and we just read there, the Spirit of God falls upon them, and they're enclosed, they're endowed with power. And how important it is before we proclaim the glory of God that we receive the glory of God. Amen? And that's what that Spirit, that's what that fire represented. You know, we've seen the little pictures, haven't we? Many of us that grew up Catholic, we used to have those pictures in our house of the upper room, and they all had like a little tongue of fire over their head. You ever see those pictures? But that's not what it means in the Greek. In the Greek, it meant that they were engulfed like that burning bush up on Mount Sinai, that the fire was all around them, that the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of God manifest himself. Pastor John last week gave a definition of glory. I'll tell you, you can't, it's hard to put glory into a definition, is it? Yeah. Amen. What do you mean glory? Well, when you read through the Bible, you read all these different things. Back in our class on Thursday, I handed out a handout on the word glory and how it was used. I mean, there was 15 different ways. We see the glory of God in nature. You look out one night and you look at the stars in the heavens and there's a glory. You look at the creation itself. There's a glory. There's a glory in young men's strength or in a women's hair. All these things the Bible talks about. But to pinpoint it and say, what is really glory? And really for our purpose is seeing the presence of God, seeing the hand of God in our circumstances. And so on this day, the power, the presence of God so filled that area they were in that they came out and they begin to what? Proclaim the good news. And so when you begin to proclaim the good news, one thing's going to happen. You're going to get an audience. Ready for an audience? Some people, when they say one of the greatest fears is what? To speak in front of a group. You know, I love 2 weeks ago when we had all those young people get up here. And we had the young kids singing. And then we had Ricardo and we had Alexis and Shane. They got up here. And they did a great job, incredible job. But if you talk to Shane before he got up there, he said, "Man, I was nervous. I was nervous. I didn't know if I wanted to go up. Am I lying, Debbie?" He was nervous. Probably got up in that morning. Probably drove you crazy, didn't he? You know, because he wanted to do it. He knew he was going to bring forth the Word of God. But when you begin to proclaim the glory of God, and I want you to look forward this year, you're going to attract a crowd. Brian talked about in his class that when he would go to the gym, there was a black guy there. He was a sergeant in the Detroit Police Department. And Brian would see him. Didn't even talk to him. But he would just see him and kind of nod his head and kind of smile at him like, "Hey, you know, good to see you." And then he'd go up and work out. And finally, this guy approached Brian. They began a conversation. And over time, what happened? Brian found out this guy used to be a Christian. But he was now an atheist. He had turned his back. And so, you know, he's like, "God, how do I reach this guy? I really believe that you brought him here." And Brian, and God just spoke to him. "Just keep being a friend. Keep being a friend. Keep being a friend." And that's all that Brian did. And so he was proclaiming things little by little, giving them a little bit of peace. You know, he's talking about fishing up there today. Now you got to be patient. Let that fish swim around the bait. And when he grabs hold, you reel it in. But he's praying for this guy. But he continually proclaims to this guy, not beating him over the head, but with respect and humility and gentleness. He's sharing the gospel with this guy. And he started a friendship with the guy. In fact, this guy's even got a nickname for Brian. He calls him Smiling Brian. That's a good nickname to have. Amen? Because I knew Brian when they had a whole bunch of other nicknames for him. But this is the way that he proclaimed the glory of God and he brought a crowd. The second thing is, what happened in our story here, not only did it get a crowd, when you begin to proclaim the glory of God, you're going to get converts. Amen? You ever had the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord? When you do it once, you want to do it again. And I've been Pastor John, myself, I know many of you have had that opportunity to lead people to the Lord. I remember Wendy when she first came into this church. God save us. She caught me over in that corner over there. She says, you know, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Yes, Wendy, what can I do for you? She says, well, I don't talk very much. She was in church saying that. Do you believe that? Lying. 2 hours later, I'm like, I can't take this lady no more. 15 years later, I'm still saying, no, I'm not. I'm kidding. I love you, Wendy. God bless you. Okay? But to see the transformation, to see what happened, to see God draw some, to see somebody converted and give their life to the Lord. And many of you have gone through the same thing. All of you, you know, different times, different places. Where were you when somebody proclaimed the glory of God and you heard it and you were drawn to it? And maybe not converted right at the first time. But later on down the road, you were converted. And so you're going to draw a crowd and you're going to see conversions. Did they see conversions that day? Oh yeah. It says 3,000. Let's read on here, because I love this. Peter comes out and, you know, everybody there thought everybody was drunk. Chapter 2, verse 13. After they heard everybody speaking in all these different languages. Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Okay? Why? Because they were pretty giddy. They were happy. They were proclaiming the glory of God. And when you do that, there's something about you that's going to attract other people to you. And they're going to say there's something different about that person. I don't know what it is, but they always seem to be walking around in joy, just like Brian. Why is it this guy that used to serve the Lord? He notices one characteristic about Brian. What was that? He was always laughing. He was always smiling. And gave him that nickname, the Smiling Brian. Because the presence of God. And maybe he thought Brian, before he came and worked out, you know, had a little bottle out in the, you know, and hit it. And you've seen people when they had a little bit too much to drink. Some people are very happy and exuberant. And that's what a lot of these people thought. They're laughing at him. And Peter starts out and he says, then Peter stood up among the 11, raised a voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It was almost a joke. He probably had them laughing. But he used that opportunity, what? To proclaim the glory of God. And then he goes on with his message and he explains what was going on that day. Skip with me to verse 41 in chapter 2. Those who were baptized, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You proclaim the glory of God, people are going to listen. Not everybody going to come to know the Lord, but they're going to listen. People are going to be converted. And we saw here the very first day, how many people were converted? 3,000 people. You know, that was one of the things about going to that church down in Texas. I looked around, there's probably about 3,000 people in there. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, what would happen if we had one-third this amount of people show up one time at church? Wouldn't that be crazy? We'd be running around here like chickens with their heads cut off. You know? Esther, Fred, get up. We need your seat. Claire, Matt, get up. We need your seat. And having all these people bringing down seats, having them sit on the floor. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, we had meetings like that. Pastor John, you probably remember it in the charismatic movement. I remember going into this basement at a church up in Ypsilanti, a Catholic church. Probably 600 or 700 young college-age students sitting on the floor, sitting on chairs, sitting on the stairs, just worshiping God. It was incredible. And I believe that God is going to be bringing that back. We're going to see that glory. We're going to see the conversions. Amen? Not only are people converted, but the kingdom grows. And what happens here? We see 3,000 people that day grow. I want to let you know something. A lot of us have the wrong theology when it comes to the kingdom. People over and over, well, you know, Pastor, things are just getting bad. Bob, you ran into a guy that day when you're out in your yard, you know, telling you how bad things were. Hey, there's bad things going on in the world. But see, we don't see things from a kingdom perspective. Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. One of the smallest seeds, but when it begins to grow, it grows and it grows and it grows. And it says, and it'll fill the entire garden. What was he saying? He's saying that this kingdom that was going to grow, this spiritual kingdom is going to grow and grow and grow and fill the entire earth. You see, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is not, it's unstoppable. The gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. We're victorious. It may look like the kingdom is suffering defeat. Jesus ain't losing no battles. You go to the book of Daniel chapter 7 and you're going to look. The promise was this, that there was going to be established a kingdom. And this kingdom, like a mountain, was going to grow and grow and grow and fill the entire earth. People, we may just be at the beginning of the kingdom expansion. But we're part of the kingdom expansion. We're part of it. We have no idea what role we may play, but we're a very serious part of where the kingdom is going. It says in the Old Testament, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as waters cover the seas. I rejoice and I thank God. The people going out, everywhere we go, the kingdom is continually expanding in areas we don't even know. In China, in India, in the Middle East, in Africa, in South America, in Mexico. See, they ain't putting that on the news. But if you follow some of the mission stuff, and it's incredible what is going on. But we're so isolated here in the United States, and that news doesn't get to us. But by faith, we got to believe the kingdom ain't going to be stopped. Amen? So the kingdom is going to be expanded. And then the fourth thing, disciples are made and they grow. And I won't read it. You can read it, but you go back. Let's just go back real quick. The end of chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I want you to know, this should be the daily life of any church. There should be a dynamic move of God every single day. And there is, if you have eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to believe. And this is the start of the church. Incredible things going on. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Doesn't that sound glorious? Amen. Isn't that something that you truly desire? I don't know about you, but I want that. And I see that. And I thank God for that. When I got back today, I was like, thank you, God. We may be a small church. We're not a big mega church, but I thank you that when I come in those doors, there are the people of God that are here. I don't have to have people that are assigned to come up and talk to me. I got people out of the depths of their heart that want to see the glory of God revealed. Come over, Pastor, we missed you. Pastor, it's good to have you back. Nobody said that, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody said that. You know? And you want to see that and you want to say, God, I've sat down and had a coffee and, you know, Betty, bring me a coffee. And it's like, oh, thank God. You know, Betty got me a coffee. That's just something. There's a connection there. And then the guys in there cooking, Ricardo and Eli, and you go in there, and they're talking to each other, and they're fellowshipping, and they're growing together, and people are coming in, and they're being blessed because these guys are coming in there. And I look at, you know, I'm expecting a couple eggs, and they got bread, and they got ham, and they got bacon, and they had bean soup that they made, you know, and they got all this food, like they're preparing for a feast. And they are, because you're that important to them. They want to see the glory of God in your life. And they say, you know what? If it takes putting a little bit of that bait out, if it takes putting a meal out there so that people get up a little bit early and come on in, we're going to make that sacrifice because we want to contribute to the discipleship, to the glory, to see Christ ruling and reigning in men and women's lives. And so they make that sacrifice. And then we see the people go up to that upper room for a little bit of prayer. Why do they go up there? Why do they come in early? Because they want to see the glory of God fall. They want to see God manifest, and they want to proclaim and say, you know what? This is what God spoke to me. We can't shut Kathy up there. Every week she's got that Bible. Boom, she's flicking through that thing. And she's giving us a word from the Lord, and it's encouraging, and it says, like, you know what? God is with you. Go out. Preach. I'm there. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to make sure the doors are open for you. And so when we begin to proclaim, as Pastor John mentioned last week, we proclaim the glory. And you're going to see, you're going to get a crowd, and you're going to get converts. And you're going to see the expansion of the kingdom. And you're going to see the cycle. You're going to see disciples made and growing strong. I know Esther, you know, and I'm going to conclude with this. Esther this morning, she loves to get on her soapbox. I love it when she does it too. And she gets up there and she says, you know, I had the chance to run and do this and do that. She says, but I stuck and I toughed it out. And I'm so glad that I did. And she was telling somebody down in Texas, I'm so glad I got the pastors there because the pastors won't let me run. They keep bringing me back. And why? Because I love them. I want to see them grow. I want the best for God in their life. Just like during Christmas time, all of us want to give those presents to our kids and our grandkids or our great-grandkids. And when you see them grow and you see them mature and appreciate things, you go, as a grandpa, you just go, that's what it's all about. And our hearts as pastors, we want not just see the glory of God manifested. We just don't want to believe like we did last year and see the glory of God, but we want to proclaim it with our mouths. Amen. We want to shout it from the rooftops. It says how good it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Amen. We want to dwell in that unity. And how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring the good news. Amen. Are you ready this year not just to see the glory of God, but to proclaim the glory of God also? Amen. Stand to your feet with me. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up here. We're going to close in prayer. And there may be some here today say, you know, I want to see that. I've seen things last year, but I want to see it more. Guess what? God will answer that prayer. Be careful, I always say this, be careful what you pray for. But if our hearts are truly right, we want to say, God, we want to see you exalted. We sang all those songs earlier about lifting Jesus, about, you know, going into the nations. We always will hope God calls somebody else to do that, amen? Yeah, Lord, I knew I sung about, you know, there's no power, you know, the people over in Africa and the people. No, God may want you in where you work to proclaim, whatever it is. But you may be here today, maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. Today's that opportunity to come forward and to give your life to the Lord and let these people pray with you and usher you in, just like on that day of Pentecost. And it entered into a whole new incredible way of life. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I've let that fire die down. I haven't stoked it up. I haven't seen the things. I haven't been actively looking for the glory of God to fall in my life. Well, I believe it can. I might see a little flame here and there. But I want that thing to increase day by day. And I encourage you to come up and get prayer. Or maybe you're here today and say, you know, when I saw the glory of God in incredible ways last year, I want more. I'm greedy. I want to see it more. I want more of you. Don't we sing that song, More of You? How many songs I got that in? I want to know you more. I want to see you more. I want to, you know, worship you more. Maybe that's where you're at today. Wherever you're at, I'd encourage you. Don't be in such a rush to get out those doors or upstairs to get a coffee and a donut. Make today, the beginning of 2020, that day where you say, I'm not only going to see the glory of God and believe for the glory of God, but I'm going to proclaim the glory of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We exalt your name today, O God. We give you glory. And Lord, we look for your glory to fall. Let your glory fall in an incredible way this year. Lord, that your kingdom would continue to grow, that your name would continue to be magnified and edified in our midst. And I pray for every man, woman, and child here today, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that you would work incredible miracles in their life. Lord, that you would open doors that they never dreamed possible before. Lord, that you might close doors that maybe they're walking through that are unfruitful. Lord, give us the ability to hear from you. Give us an increase of faith that we can believe you for greater things. You've said in your word, greater things that we'll do. Those who believe in my name will do. And Lord, may we really truly believe that. May we not walk out presumptuously or foolishly, but may we walk out under the very directive of God himself. And Lord, as I even open up, Lord, I pray that you give us the spirit. We yell out, let's get ready to rumble. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless. We have coffee and donuts upstairs. Say hello to someone.